Coming up on show 518, the new Nissan Leaf is tested, an electric Aston Martin, and double-decker electric buses. Those stories and many more coming up on today's podcast. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. In fact, wherever you are in the world, especially if you are celebrating the 4th of July today. Happy 4th, Thursday 4th of July today. If you're off work, if you're looking forward to spending time with friends and family, some fireworks later, I don't know what you do for Independence Day. I'm halfway around the world, but I'm thinking of you if you're in the USA and marking the 4th today. Well, I go through every EV story that I can find online. I whittle them down to the ones I think you need to know about, and thank you for trusting me with that process. And I hope we get it more right than wrong, and we save you time from all the work that you would have to do, just spend hours going through the blogs. Well, thank you to MyEV.com as well. That is the ultimate time-saving device in the USA. Can't get it here. Man, I wish I could get it. We are still stuck with the old-fashioned way of going through the boring old car sites. But now, if you're in America, you have a resource only about EVs, MyEV.com. So I watched a YouTube video earlier today, and it's in German, but there's captions and subtitles. And it is a German company which was a day one reservation holder for the brand new Nissan Leaf, 62 kilowatt hour Leaf. It's amazing how that car has come on from being 24, then 30, then 40, then 62 kilowatt hours with the Leaf. And actually, some of the bits in that new car are still hangovers from the original Leaf, just to show how good it was originally. The world's best-selling car, over 400,000 sold now of the Nissan Leaf. A recent road test by the German EV rental specialist Nextmove, who got hold of one, found that the new 62 kilowatt hour Nissan Leaf, from their test, when they did it, it did suffer from the DC fast charging throttling, which is otherwise known as rapid gate. The issues at elevated temperatures as compared to the 40 kilowatt hour Leaf. According to Dr. Max Holland, who writes for Clean Technica, long-time listeners of the podcast know that I rate Max very highly. His articles are, his writing is excellent, well-researched, well-backed up, always long as well, so I'll put a link in the show notes if you want to read more. But just to give you the gist of it, of this test that was done, the Technotrim price of this Leaf, by the way, that was the one that was tested, about £36,000 in the UK, which puts you in Kona EV or e-Niro EV territory, and €47,000 in Germany, which actually in Germany is Model 3 Standard Range Plus territory. Now, whether or not this charge speed that the German road tester got out of it is accurate for everyone else, we don't know. But this is the first test that I've seen online, and the maximum charge speed they got, Nissan saying that it'll charge up to 100 kilowatts, the maximum speed this person got was 44 kilowatts. Was it temperature limited? Was it charger power limited? We just don't know. But it certainly is a lot lower than 100. Where there was a drastically lowered power rate on subsequent charges as well after some heavy driving, 28 and 24 kilowatts, subsequent DC fast charging sessions corresponding, because they had Leaf Spy plugged in, to higher battery pack temperatures, 47 and 49 degrees Celsius respectively. One way of explaining that would be higher temperatures, thermal throttling. Is this rapid gate all over again? Now, I didn't think that the 62 kilowatt hour Nissan Leaf was going to suffer as badly as the 40, largely due to improvements they'd made in the thermal management within the battery. I'm not talking about active thermal management of blowing cold air over the battery or even having some sort of liquid cooled system within the battery, just simply the energy density of those batteries being better able to dissipate the heat. This is one test. It's one YouTube video. This is hardly a scientific experiment, by the way. I'm looking forward to seeing more. Well, the slowest speed that this German got, which was 24 kilowatts charging, that was at 49 degrees C. That was on the second DC charge session on the first day of the test. If you have a 40 kilowatt hour pack, by the way, and you have a Nissan Leaf right now, chances are you love that car. To their credit, in some regions, Nissan has recognized the issue, acknowledged the issue, offered a software update to make the charge power restrictions less stringent. What does that do? Well, it effectively changes the battery management firmware to allow the battery to reach higher temperatures before restricting the DC charging speed. I'll pop a link to Max's article in the show notes if you want to read more. It's a brilliant read. Nissan give this guidance. I'll give you Nissan's side of it. This isn't in response to this particular YouTube video, by the way. There's been no, as far as I know, comment on RapidGate for a very long time, apart from saying it's available in some regions. As far as I know, that doesn't include North America, which surprises me because it can get pretty hot in parts of the USA. And it also, it doesn't surprise me because, you know, it's an area that is, let's say, rather trigger happy when it comes to people being sued. I think that's probably there's some truth to that. It's not a cliche, is it? Everyone sues everyone in America. There is some truth to that. And if I was Nissan, I just wouldn't. If I were in the legal jurisdiction of the USA, I wouldn't acknowledge any problems. In Europe, they've acknowledged the problem and gone, yeah, okay, here's a fix. I don't know. I think, did they apply it to Canada, but not USA? Look, fill me in if you're a Leaf owner and you've got some more details on that. Nissan's guidance they give, by the way, is this, and I quote, "The Nissan Leaf is designed to support the majority of journeys in daily life and is equipped with charging safeguards to protect the battery during repeated rapid charging sessions in a short period of time. Well, the time taken for successive rapid charging can take longer if the battery temperature activates the battery safeguarding technology." End quote. How many Nissan lawyers does it take to write a statement? Answers on the back of a postcard, please. Moving on. Let's talk about some sales last month in June. Now we're 4 days into July. Last month in June, the Audi e-tron sales in the US were a little lower than in May. I thought they'd be going up, but they were just a little down. June was 726. May was 856. Overall, wasn't a bad result for the second full month of availability. And this is, I'm picking this up from the Inside EV sales scorecard, the place I always go to for those reliable sales numbers. And when they can't and they say, well, look, we have to estimate this one because, you know, Tesla don't update monthly, for instance. Even then, when they say we're estimating this, they can be really bang on sometimes. Well, currently the e-tron accounts for almost 4% of all Audi sales. I know. E-tron alone, 4% of all Audi sales, significant as the brand balances on the growth and decline edge. Now, June, of course, it was a bit of a decline for all of Audi, and particularly for the e-tron as well, down on those main numbers. Comparing the e-tron to the Tesla Model X, which I guess you can do. I mean, the Model X and the e-tron feel like very different cars to me, but if you want to compare the two, Inside EVs estimate that the Model X did 2,725. It's an estimate, but 2725 for the Model X in June, and that's compared to 726 for the e-tron. The e-tron, by the way, I've not driven. I've only been inside it, but I've never actually driven the car myself. What an incredible motor. That is just, it felt like the best of Audi engineering all in one place. It just was a lovely cabin to be in. I was in the passenger seat. I wasn't driving it, and everything felt like it's where it should be. Enough buttons for the things that you want to do quickly, but not too many buttons. A lot of software control. Really well put together car. Felt like $1 million. If you owned one, you'd be absolutely chuffed to bits, wouldn't you? You'd be so happy if you owned an e-tron. I know it's got its detractors. And like I say, I don't think you can compare it to the Model X. Of course, lazy comparisons like that do happen. I think that and the X just seem like, I know that they're both SUVs. They seem like very different propositions to me. Let's go to the other end of the scale, from big mammoth SUVs to the little tiddly city cars that you'll see if you are in Europe. Maybe if you come to Europe on holiday and you come to a city like London or Paris, Rome, especially in Italy, you're going to see tons of little city cars bombing around. Following the announcements of the Škoda Citygo E, I know, right? Hey? You thought I was going to say Skoda. I've been told it's Škoda because it's a Czech company. And if you, anyway, I know I've wound somebody up now. When I say Skoda, I get told off. And if I say Škoda, I know I'll get told off by someone anyway. The Citygo E and the Seat, which is the Spanish bit of VW, the MII, I think I pronounce it me. Basically, it's the same car. Now, the Volkswagen E-Up is unveiled. And it's a trio of cars, all look very similar, basically the same car. Curious that Volkswagen didn't do some massive worldwide press release fandango, because VW, I think it's fair to say, VW like a good press release when it comes to EVs. In fact, I think VW are the world's leading EV press release company. The new Volkswagen e-up was announced on the Volkswagen Netherland website, says Pedro for pushevs.com. Again, long-time listeners, and I'm a big fan of Pedro's blog at pushevs. He doesn't blog very often, but when he does, it's always a brilliant article. This info turned up back in April, but no one's kind of noticed it. VW, what are you doing? You're missing a trick here. You can put out at least six more press releases about this car. It is coming soon, at the end of the year, by the way. I think deliveries will happen sometime before 2020 for those people that want to order one. Very popular small car, the e-up. It was updated, and it will be updated when the new one is out, with this new platform along with the Skoda and the Seat to do 260 kilometers of range on the European WLTP test cycle. If you are interested in that great little city car, useful mileage as well. Well, Aston Martin gave a glimpse into its future in London. They've been showcasing their electrified future with two of its future models on display, according to Motor1.com. The Rapide E, Aston Martin's first all-electric production car, and the Lagonda Vision Concept. They showcase the reborn brand and its future all-electric products on show at Aston Martin's Central London showroom. That's in Mayfair. The £250,000 Rapide E is Aston Martin's first all-electric production vehicle. Only 155 are going to be built. I imagine they've probably been sold and spoken for by now. Funnily enough, I'm going to be in Mayfair tomorrow. There's a movie premiere happening next week, and that sounds fancy, right? That is not like red carpet, thousands of screaming people, and Zac Efron, I don't know, pick somebody famous who people would scream at. There will be very famous people at this premiere, but I won't say any of their names. Anyway, I'm going to be making some podcasts from the event and interviewing those who are turning up. And so I'm there tomorrow to do a recce, to have a look at where we can do the interviews, and we're going to be recording some sound from there as well. So, as I'm in Mayfair tomorrow, as this Aston Martin showroom in Mayfair has these cars on show, well, you know, I'll put my best frock on, look like I can afford a £250,000 car, and I'll go and have a look. Staying in London, and together with their British partner, ADL, BYD, the Chinese company BYD, very famous for commercial vehicles, stands for Build Your Dreams, by the way. They've introduced the first of 37 new all-electric double-decker buses. The first five buses went into service are in London, Line 43, if you're interested. It says electrive.com, the Enviro 400 EV bus based on the well-known Enviro 200 bus, but it's bigger. Well, it's twice the height. The new aluminium body, 11 metres long, 4.3 metres high, 2.5 metres wide. The bus is powered by wheel hub motors. I see loads of the single deckers around London now. There's so many electric buses in London. At least the bits of it I go to, like the main centre around Waterloo train station. I think I'm on a route that has lots of electric buses, but I've never seen the electric double deckers. And that's why, because there weren't any until now. I'm only going to have a look for those tomorrow as well, see if I can see any of them. Not too many in operation yet, but I'll work out where Line 43 goes and see if I can go get a picture of a double-decker full electric bus. How big's the battery? Slightly bigger than my 22 kilowatt hours on the Renault Zoe. 382 kilowatt hours each battery, range of 250 kilometers per day. And then, of course, it goes back to the bus depot and charges overnight. Couple more stories. The new Renault Captur, or maybe I should say Renault Captur, is going to get a plug-in hybrid version of its powertrain. That powertrain will do 28 miles or 45 kilometers of purely electric range in mixed use. The feature they're calling E-Tech is actually part of a feature of 150 new patents filed by Renault, and it should become the segment's first such offering. It's going to be on the market early next year. The Renault Captur, really interesting family car. I'm delighted it's coming with a plug, and hopefully lots of those little errands and chores that get run, taking the kids to football practice on a Saturday morning, all that kind of stuff. The school run can be done on purely electric miles. finishing off with a bit of... we've got two more stories, actually. A bit of solar, and then a clip that I'll leave you with that really made me laugh out loud today. Newly installed solar power is going to see a massive increase in Spain this year, and that's good, because Spain... well, it's sunny. A 1,600% increase, according to a leading renewable energy union. And according to the website olivepress.es, the Spanish Voltaic Union, UNEF, predicts the installation of 4,400 megawatts of solar power this year. That's up from only 261 last year. That's a huge increase. How come? Let me tell you. Well, the newly installed power that's going on roofs all around Spain, lots of solar energy, will be made up of large-scale plants and personal consumers. The spokeswoman for UNEF added that the repeal of a sun tax back in April this year has opened the floodgates for new renewable solar energy. What on earth is a sun tax? Can you tax the sun? It turns out the old Spanish government worked out a way to do it. The stultifying tax was introduced in 2015 by Mariano Rajoy's PP government and penalised any houses in Spain with solar panels if they wish to remain connected to the national grid. So, got a bit of solar, but you want to stay on the grid for those days or even overnight, heck, keep the fridge turned on. If you wanted to stay connected to the grid, every household with solar panels had to pay around about 70 euros a month, a month, to the national energy companies, even if they never used a single kilowatt hour of external power. If they were connected to the grid, they were taxed on it. That tax has been repealed, and as you can imagine, with the falling prices of solar, with the glut of Chinese panels, which is kind of going on at the moment, I think still, solar prices are getting cheaper. They have been doing for a long time. Spain is incredibly sunny in southern Europe. You get into the bottom of Spain, you cross Gibraltar Strait, you're in North Africa. So if you don't, you know, just to remind you of your geography, it's very sunny in certain parts of Spain. It's a no-brainer to have lots of solar, and to tax it is bonkers. What government would put an increased tax on solar? That would be mad. This one. The government of the UK, as part of their... plans later this year. There's some real greenwashing going on. Our Prime Minister gets up. This is not a political thing, by the way, but she's on her way out. She's resigned and has been ditched. And so she's got a few more days left in power. And one of the things, the big speech she gave, her legacy was all about being achieving a carbon neutral society. So that's the headline. You dig into what the government are doing. They're adding a massive tax to solar panels later this year. We pay 5% tax at the moment on solar installations. They're putting it up to 20%. You always got to look past the headlines, look at the details, do your own reading, do your own thinking. And it's just mad, isn't it? It's just crazy. It's so, so frustrating when politicians do that. And you wonder why. You wonder why. You wonder why. Hey, final one. This is brilliant. So I'm obviously a very long way from the US. I do get people email me to say, oh, I saw this ridiculous thing on CNBC and I saw this crazy thing on CNBC. And so I kind of get the impression, correct me if I'm wrong, that they aren't the biggest fans of Tesla. In fact, at times they can be a bit of a cheerleader for those talking down Tesla. And someone sent me this clip today, and I have to play it to you because it's one of the anchors, one of the hosts on there. And the numbers yesterday, the delivery numbers for quarter two Tesla were so, they just blew everyone away. There was literally no negative story you could find, but clearly this anchor on CNBC, you can hear for yourself the sheer panic in his voice when for 10 seconds he tries to come up with something negative and just gives up.
Gene, does it concern you, though, also when you think about just deliveries here? I got to give up. I'm sorry. When do you guys take this?
I mean, bless him. Poor little fella. He was live on TV and desperately, you could hear the little hamster wheel in his brain running round going, come on, think of something. Think of anything negative. Deliveries. Listen to this again.
Gene, does it concern you, though, also when you think about just deliveries here? I got to give up. I'm sorry. When do you guys take this?
No, No, no matter how hard you try, there was no negative story in that. EVs are here, and EVs are here to stay, and the oil industry ain't going to be happy for a very long time, but EVs are not going away. We're up for a fight. They're not going away. And I think more stuff like that's definitely going to happen. All right, let's finish off with question of the week this week. Thanks to myev.com for setting this. Keep your comments coming in on email and YouTube. I've been checking my stats for my downloads, and it's always been like this. I mean, it's not like a recent thing, but about 90% of the people that download this podcast are guys. Why is that? I'm not particularly blokey. What's your theory of why, and if, you know, when I went to Fully Charged, most of the people there, Fully Charged Live, were guys. So, like, what's that all about? Are EVs a guy thing? Or not? Let me know your thoughts. Email me hello at evnewsdaily.com. Leave a comment on my blog, the website, YouTube, Facebook. Time for the endy bit. There are 230 patrons of the show who keep me going. Patreon.com/evnewsdaily. There are 517 previous shows you can download for free. Get the new ones first and free and automatically by hitting subscribe on your podcast app, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn. You know the score by now. Please share this podcast with someone who you think might get some benefit. Maybe it's one person that you send it to personally, or everyone that follows you on social media. I'd love you to share this show, please. You know, I'm just so desperate to spread the word about EVs. Say hi on the socials by searching EV News Daily. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.